everybody. Fantastic episode of the Daily Bone podcast this morning. We discuss the crypto dump after the morning CPI print. We talk about why the Ethereum ETF approval odds are decreasing by the day and what that could do to the price of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana. We also discuss all things Base as activity on the Base L2 continues to heat up. The show is brought to you in partnership with Peanut Games. Peanut Games building on Blast. Really good stuff. We hear from Henry, the founder of Peanut Games. We talk about the upcoming token and what people need to do to get access to that, to get an allocation of it. Overall, it's a fantastic episode of the show. Hope you enjoy it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Wednesday, April 10th, and you have tuned into the Daily Bone podcast. This podcast discusses all things crypto market, including the majors like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana. Don't look at the charts this morning if you have a sensitive stomach. We also talk shop about meme coins, NFTs, and other alternative assets. Today, we have an action-packed show. Clemente warned me about just how much action, so I'm going to push very hard to get through this. Today, we are going to discuss the crypto dump after this morning's CPI print. We're going to discuss why the Ethereum ETF approval odds are decreasing by the day and what that could do to crypto prices in general. And we are going to discuss all things Base as activity on the L2 continues to heat up. I want to give a major, major shout out to today's partner. The show is brought to you in partnership with Peanut Games, another gaming partner. We absolutely love it. Easy. What exactly do people need to know about Peanut Games?
So, Peanut Games, launching on Blast, three playable games right now with Bubble Bots, Battle Dash, and a Rock, Paper, Scissors game. They have their Peanut Farms that are now live, so it's a way to earn points for their upcoming Nuts token. All of this as well, you earn the points from playing games, totally free to play, browser-based, it's only desktop at the moment. Mobile's going to be released within a month, apps in the App Store will also go through an update, and those three games are all live. Only one at the moment is available on Blast. The rest will be live this month. And those points are used to craft a mystery peanut, which is their way to farm and ultimately earn points that go towards the next iteration of a potential token rollout. It's backed by a bunch of well-known people in the space, ranging from Dingling, Grail.eth, and more. You can also see, if you're watching the YouTube stream, Immutable, Cluster Capital, and Pixelmon or Mon Protocol are all backing it as well. So some quality names in the space that people are familiar with. They're casual, easy, fast, action-paced games, and it's a way to farm on Blast. So, I mean, we're seeing the Blast mentality right now go absolutely crazy. A ton of people diving into Blast head first. That was one of my takeaways from New York, was how many people weren't diving into this opportunity, and Peanut Games is one of those newer opportunities for many people to get involved with. We have an AMA with the founder later today as well, so I'm excited to dive in. But a ton of different ways to be early on something on Blast and potentially reap some awesome rewards.
Hell yeah. Well, sign up for the game on Blast using the link that is pinned up top on the Twitter spaces. It's also in the YouTube description. Very easy to find. I'm sure we'll tweet it out, all that. Kix, how you doing this morning, amigo?
Phenomenal, man. Got 2+ hours of REM sleep last night. Went deep into the dream world, solved some things my brain's been looking to solve, and now I'm just applying it to real life, dude. So let's get after it.
Wow, seems like your Wednesday is just off to an electric start. Love to hear it.
My buddy at the coffee shop talked some conspiracy theories, just, you know, lined on that stuff.
Ooh, which ones?
Dead internet theory is like my favorite one right now.
I'm a big flat earth guy.
Nice. Yeah, well, I bet the totality solar eclipse really fucked with your head a little bit there.
No, it actually just made it even more clear that the chemtrails were the reason behind it. So it all adds up. If anything, it justified my thesis. Because you couldn't see it everywhere, so it flew over a certain flat part of the world. It's not round.
Facts, man. I agree with that.
Well, quite an eventful morning thus far, Kix. You had a chance to bump into your friend and talk conspiracy theories. Yeah, why don't we just kick things off with the weather report whenever you're ready, amigo? I unfortunately did not get as much REM sleep because I had to take my dog out in the middle of the night. Rare thing, once every 4 or 5 months. It's okay. I'm ready to cook with you guys.
Check on that diet. You know what I'm saying? All right, ladies and gentlemen, Wednesday, April 10th, ETH market volume coming in 17.7 million. Solana coming in at 12. Ordinals absolutely cooking, $36.4 million. Over to the NFT market leaders on Ethereum, we got Milady up 7% to 4.8 ETH. And Block Games Dice are down 35% to 0.37 ETH. Over on Solana, the Pekinians are up 80% to 8.1 SOL. Nice. And NADLADS up 6% to 135 SOL. Finally, on Ordinals, Blob is up 60% to 0.048. And Pizza Ninjas went on a nice little run up 40% to 0.115 BTC. I'll tell you what, when you combine Solana, ETH, Bitcoin, all those numbers, they don't even make sense anymore, right? We need one number to combine them all, maybe USDC. Crypto Roundup majors all down after two straight days of ETF outflows and a hot CPI print this morning. The boomers exiting the markets. Bitcoin down 67.8K, ETH to 3430, and Solana all the way down to 165. You're definitely not looking at a guy that bought some more at 200. Standout tokens for today, MemeCoin Stan up 75% to a $45 million market cap. Machi's Bopa Opa up 31% to a $38 million market cap. Whiff down 14% to a $3.4 billion market cap. Monada Labs announced the completion of a $225 million funding round led by Paradigm to build their hyperscalable EVM-compatible Layer 1 with throughput goals of 10K transactions per second. The chain aims to directly compete with ETH and existing L2s. Over on to Yuga Labs, Board Ape Yacht Clubs announced Lisbon, Portugal as the location of 2024's Ape Fest this October. Since Ape Fest 2024 is in Hong Kong, since that happened, Board Apes have bled 30% down to their current 12.2 ETH floor, prompting crypto Twitter to poke fun and ask if the event will be held in Portugal or Lisbon, Ohio. I saw Easy Eats making that joke. Lastly, NBA Top Shot kicked off an auction on its first ever 1-out-of-1 card, a rookie ultimate moment featuring generational, you put this in here because you know I wouldn't be able to say it, prospect Victor Wembanyama. The auction takes place in two stages, with the first stage being a blind bid in which top bidders will advance to the final stage. Which will be a traditional auction. No Dutch auctions, no reverse Dutch auctions, no flying Phoenix auctions here. Just a traditional, put your number up in the sky and put a number down on the mat. Back to you in the studio.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that you might have pronounced Victor Wembanyama Wemby's name better than you pronounce Monad's name. Monad Labs, I think, is what
Monada.
You said. Monada Labs. That was interesting.
I don't know. Pick a better name. Bozos.
Okay, I always love to hear Kix's pronunciation of various names. Look, some updates from the Daily Bone newsletter. This is emailed to anyone that subscribes at dailybones.com. Three quick stories. Christie's kicks off auctions for four lots by OMB artist Tony Tafuro, including a completed Ordinal Maxi Biz set. So a little OMB action happening at Christie's. Will be very interesting to see what happens with that. Solana Perp Exchange Zeta Markets announces the Z token, that's ticker Z, which will power governance and protocol growth. Last story, the developer for BTC Rune Mining Collection, RSIC, teases post-halving utility, tweeting that he will not stop working on RSIC after the halving. RSICs continue to hold a 0.08 Bitcoin floor. Those are your stories from the Daily Bone podcast. We have been joined by NFT Nick since the start of the show. Choose Rich Nick, if you will. Nick, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. I like Kix. Got a decent amount of sleep. Man. What's that?
You said I like Kix. I like you too.
That's not what I said, actually.
Oh, I, comma, like Kix, like, comma. Got a lot of sleep. Gotcha.
Cool. I semicolon like Kix.
Oh, semicolon.
Okay. Kix was correct.
And you got to work on those conspiracy theories.
You don't like dead internet theory?
Not a fan of flat Earth.
The flat Earth one was a little bit like.
Well, I mean, that's easy. He's been trading on Solana for 2 years. You know, definitely had a head injury early youth, and that's okay. But yeah, no, you should look up the dead internet theory. I think you'd like that a little better.
Well, I'm interested to check it out. I'm just also sitting here happy about how much I got airdropped for that single tweet.
Crazy.
Thinking about buying some jewelry or something, you know, changing my life.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. In all seriousness, are you? So this is the Pac Moon airdrop, if I'm not mistaken. You put out one tweet about it, and you had placed on the leaderboard quite high. I suppose, is this because of the number of impressions of that tweet, Nick?
Yeah, just a single tweet. Dude, that's the type of boss baller that I am, dude. And I'm just getting, you know, 20 grand dropped on me like I deserve.
2019 Honda Civic, brand new with that money.
You got 20 bands for that, dude?
Yes.
I'm not gonna ask you what's in the middle of them anymore. You know what I'm saying?
I spent it on another 3 minutes in the air with my private pilot. Quick note, I did notice on Twitter, I actually did wake up in the middle of the night at like 4 o'clock because I fell asleep with my clothes on fully in my bed, which is pretty stupid. That was poor behavior. I'm going to
say New York City, man. You got some dirty ass shit all over your body.
It was stupid. Well, fortunately, I'm washing my comforter today. So
your maids can come into your pied-à-terre and, you know, throw it in the dry cleaner.
Exactly. So they're actually washed every day by my staff. What was I going to say? When I woke up, I looked on Twitter for a second and I saw, oh my God, what were we just talking about?
You were talking about airdrop, 20 grand, 20 bands.
Pac-Moon.
Dead internet theory.
No, it was
chemtrails.
The eclipse?
Eclipse, totality, okay. Flying in the sky.
Someone went on Delta. So basically Delta charged for a flight where they filled out a whole flight of things. If you were on first class, it was $1,800. For people that were asking, I got tweets being like, yo, the private jet was off. Yo, you dummies, you turned the plane off when you parked the plane, and I'm yelling at the pilot to get back up in the air. That's the way that private aviation operates.
Yeah, okay? They don't know anything about the world of private aviation.
They don't understand. Here's the deal. The amount that we paid for that flight was basically the same as if we'd gotten first class on Delta with like 500 other people who were jammed next to each other. In the back, it was three people on each side, like trying to get like a look out the window. So they got completely fucked. They were passing photos around to each other, basically.
And here's the thing. A plane, you look out to the left or the right, the sun's above you. Can't even see it. Like, why would you pay for that, dude? On the ground, you can see it better. What are they, like, turning the plane 90 degrees vertical? Then only half the people can see it. Doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I'll let you know. We saw it for a large percentage of the duration of the totality. We were in the moment of totality. It was better than actually going all the way to, like, Columbus or something like that, staying in a hotel, dealing with all this other shit just to go and stand on the ground with the peasants. And so
when you're higher in the sky, there's more of a totality range.
It's more total.
It was more. And if you follow along the path of totality, you can get a longer period of time. The record was set 20 years ago in a fighter jet where they went along Africa is where it was. And they basically set the world record for the longest duration of which a human eye had observed the moment of totality, and it was something like 20 minutes, which is pretty crazy. All I was trying to get was like 8 to 10, and I thought that was like incredibly reasonable. Apparently not.
I mean, yeah, it was really inappropriate, I'd say. But moving on to crypto price action, we're going to start with the Ethereum ETF. Our buddy that we met last week, the VanEck CEO, Jan VanEck, got a chance to chop it up with him.
My buddy talked about me getting in fights in the street.
Yeah, fake fights. And he just couldn't process my first name at all. We just moved on. Just could not process it.
Well, you're not rich enough.
Yeah, that's probably it. But yeah, that's him right there. He thinks the SEC will reject his firm's Ethereum ETF application. He said the way the legal process goes is the regulators will give you comments on your application. And that happened for weeks and weeks before the Bitcoin ETFs. Right now, pins are dropping as far as Ethereum is concerned. That's from Jan VanEck. This is consistent with what James Safer thinks. This is what consistent with what Eric, I forget how to pronounce his last name, from Bloomberg thinks. It's consistent with what everybody thinks. I actually jumped onto a Twitter space last week that Fred Krueger was hosting, and I asked him if he still thought that the Ethereum ETF would get rejected. He said he does think so. He also said that he thinks that it's actually better for Ethereum that it get rejected. He thinks it doesn't make sense for it to get approved right now. That's his position. He's a Bitcoin hardcore maximalist, so take it with a grain of salt. But if we see this application, basically, if we see the ETF delayed, because I do think it's a foregone conclusion that it eventually is approved, but if it gets delayed, which, by the way, the Bitcoin ETF got delayed, if you remember, ladies and gentlemen, how does this impact the price action of Solana? Ethereum and Bitcoin. Easy, I'd be curious to know what you're thinking about. You essentially predicted the Bitcoin ETF price action accurately. You said it would be a sell the news event for a couple of weeks, and then it would
7 to 14 days.
Uh-huh. And it would resume up only after that.
The ETH ETF, I think, is just a totally different beast. I don't think we get it any even sign of approval till at least summer. Right now, I'm more interested in like short-term price action from CPI data. Seems like inflation's still running a little hot, and yet we don't have cuts potentially till later in the year. The other thing, though, is it is an election year, so a lot of people believe that we will see more printing, rate cuts sooner, a push to continue to get the current sitting president back in office, which you tend to see, and you need a hot economy to kind of do that as well to show that there's not any signs of a recession. We were running like insanely hot though on crypto. Obviously, Bitcoin holding over 70K and seeing ETH kind of trend yesterday. It seems like ETH has been the last leg in some of these things. Like every time, like when ETH heats up, so far it seems like it's marked a short-term top over the last like 3 months. So I'm going to continue to closely watch that and start to see if there is some level of a trend. Because even just yesterday we saw ETH up. Nice little rally to 3,600, which was a lot of people were like, oh, ETH's finally waking up. And now we're right back below where we were. So all in all, the market, who uses this shit?
All right, why are we looking at an Ethereum chart?
Because Base and Blast, brother, they use ETH.
We're talking about the Ethereum ETF. It does kind of make sense to me to show a chart of Ethereum. What asset did you want to see a chart of, Nick?
Like Solana, Bitcoin, AVAX, anything that's like.
Oh, I forgot you dumped all your ETH bags.
I've
pulled the Solana chart so we can see his network.
I should have pulled it yesterday. I just didn't. I was too lazy.
Look at Filecoin. Filecoin at $5, eh?
Still better. They said it wasn't a buy. We're at 828. Still looking like a genius.
1 year chart still looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
So, Nick, in all seriousness, do you have any thoughts on Ethereum ETF approval, if the ETF gets denied, which Jan Van Eck seems to think is going to get, the application is going to get delayed. I think
I've been saying it was going to get denied. PO was saying confidently, despite all signals showing otherwise.
I did not say that it was going to happen in May.
That was what you said.
Anyway, what do you make of Solana here, Nick, considering the network, I'd call it issues that Solana's been having? That seems
Dude. I sold all my Solana at the 220.
Oh, all of it. Okay.
I got out.
When did it hit 220?
Yo, dude.
Last cycle.
Oh, OTC deals.
I got some deals. Okay, 220 was what the big whales were willing to pay for, like, serious bags. Like, I got big bags. So they were looking at that, and they bought it for me for $220. I've just been sitting on it cash ever since, looking for a reentry opportunity. Given the challenges with Solana, I ended up rolling that all into an equity stake in Monad. And so I'm just a big Monad holder, looking for their TGE event, later this year. And I'm probably going to be, by that point, really one of the richest people in the world.
Well, there you go.
You strike me as a real alt L1 maxi. So
quickly, before we move on, we're going to move on to the CPI print and having predictions before talking about runes and base. On the Ethereum ETF, I do think it's interesting that we have a Bitcoin ETF for only 3.5 months at this point, if that. It actually might technically be less, but I think it's closer to 3 months. It's been as bullish of a situation as anybody could have predicted, right? Inflows are crazy. The GBTC situation didn't really impact anything. People were trying to say that Bitcoin couldn't perform well in a high interest rate environment. Well, look at where we're at. I do wonder what people think about the reality of an ETH ETF being in market at the same time of a Bitcoin as a Bitcoin ETF. And I wonder what it means if the Bitcoin ETF is allowed to sort of fly solo for another extended period of time. People within crypto don't understand the differences between Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other coins. So I don't think it's fair to to assume that the boomer generation, if you will, the people that are buying the ETFs, would understand the differences. Kix, do you have any thoughts on this, on like, you know, these two ETFs being in market at the same time and whether it would be good, bad, or neutral for the assets? And it's okay if you don't. We can move on to the CPI print, but I just love to know how you would think about something like this, or if Nick has something.
Yeah, definitely not my area of expertise. I don't have big insights, but I think, like, you know, if the ETF got approved, it would take away somewhat from the inflows into BTC, but like they would, you know, like I don't think anyone is like, I'm not going to put money into the Bitcoin ETF. I'm waiting for the ETH ETF, right? I think a lot of people are saying, I want exposure to crypto in general. Some of those people may want Bitcoin only. But it may temporarily take a little bit of the flows away from Bitcoin. I could see a decent amount of people being like, I want some ETH and I want some Bitcoin. That wouldn't be too crazy for me to see.
I feel like that's a good way to think about it. Like, and no one's like, I'm not going to touch that Bitcoin. Like, you know, no one that has like a Charles Schwab account is like, I'm not touching that Bitcoin.
Hold now for the ETH ETF.
Yeah, let's get cooking on that ETH one. Nick, what's going on, amigo? You got Solana's chart pulled up on screen, a little visual.
It's a little visual. It's a big visual. I mean, look at how clear that resistance was on Solana, 201, 202, whatever. Kind of crazy that it was like that week after week after week. Just a hard rejection on the fourth try. I think we, you know, what's crazy is the next level down, any significant level, is all the way down at 112. But I like...
Nick. 144. That's where we're going.
What am I zooming out with?
Zoom out. Go farther back.
It's your chart.
Look right there. This is where we're looking, like 144 area, a little lower. A little lower.
That makes sense to me. Right. It looks like a right pretty similar there. Setup to end of 2023 into 2024.
That's where I'm looking.
Easy relonged it at 100, got a nice 2X.
Easy's levels to me are always a bunch of nonsense. I don't fully agree. So I'm gonna zoom back in and let Easy know where this bad boy is going.
I'll buy at 140. You'll yell that you wish you did, and then you'll complain about it. I can't wait.
300.
No, I think we could see a little bit like that right around.
What? Where's that going? Wait. Where's that little dip down?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a chart of Solana pulled up. Nick quickly rejected Easy's level, but then promptly drew a line exactly at Easy's level about right after. That's why people
are higher. Nick said shit on Easy's 144 call. Nick's calling 146.14 instead.
And ladies and gentlemen, in business meetings, things like this happen all the time where someone will actually propose an idea. Someone like myself might say, hey, why don't we do that? And then Nick says, no, we shouldn't do that. 30 seconds later, he proposes that we do that.
He has got an issue, though, with his name. That's one of the problems, though. Dude, people just don't understand it. So it's difficult to understand. 60,000 looking nice for Bitcoin here. 60,000. I'll buy it.
Everything's probably pulling back into the CPI. You know, inflation getting a little hot. Selling may go away. Tax season, summer, summertime, boys.
We need a little bit of a pullback here. We need things to cool off a little bit. So, well, I mean,
when you zoom out on this chart, it is pretty damn aggressive. Like a lot of green candles on this chart. I mean, wow. You know, I don't look at charts, so it was interesting for me to see it.
Well, if you want to see the monthly, we have
that is a volatile last month for a boomer.
4, 5, 6, 7 straight months of going from 25,000 up to 70,000.
Just completely outside the bands, dude.
I mean, love it. Outside the bands.
I love it.
We saw it this time or last time go from 60,000, basically as low as a 50% pullback. So, I don't know that we'll get that extreme this time, but like, I would not be surprised. I mean, send it to 45, dude. Let's pick up some at 45. I'll add another Bitcoin. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna wait for it to hit 45 easy. Okay.
Absolutely love to hear that.
You're gonna
Nick.
Miss the entry. Like,
what's your target?
Right around 61.
Just again, making up bullshit numbers, dude. This guy.
Both of you are. To be clear, both of you are making up bullshit numbers. But
dude, mine. No, we're not. I mean, I've been spot on.
Right there.
Look at Easy's right number. There. Right at the previous high.
Easy's looking at this, which does look like a nice line. I mean,
you shouldn't be every time until you look and you're like, oh wait, actually, this might be pretty good.
Like the idea better when he hears it coming out of his mouth.
Well, that's for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, we will move on from this section of Nick declining EZ's calls on charting and then promptly drawing the lines on his own chart and saying, actually, that looks pretty good. Look, we will see. We will see what happens with the price action on the majors, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana. I would not be surprised if we see some volatility. I think it's only appropriate that 3 months into the Bitcoin ETF being live and the boomers buying into it, we give them some aggressive volatility that makes their stomach turn. Look, we're going to move on to the halving prediction. So the quote from former CEO of BitMEX, Arthur Hayes, if you want to listen to some good podcasts, just search for Arthur Hayes's name in your podcast app and just run through the past few. The guy really knows what he's talking about when it comes to Bitcoin and crypto in general. He said, when most market participants agree on a certain outcome, the opposite usually occurs. This is on the halving. I feel like somebody needed to write an article, and this is the article that they wrote. It's literally a fact that nothing happens after the halving every single time, and it takes 6 to 9 months for anything to happen. But I love how every single time they write an article like, everybody's bullish on the halving, and that means that nothing's going to happen.
There is something happening, though, this time.
What?
The runes drop. I think it's going to shock a lot of people. It's going to lead to higher fees through the mempool because of the constant volume that's happening. You have more total users signing up for Bitcoin nodes right now, which is crazy for just, quote, the decentralization aspect. And ultimately, what that's going to lead to is higher fees for miner, despite the break in block. So I think that's actually like a very bullish case, because with that number of fees, it's actually going to continue to incentivize miners here with just the total number of volume that's going through on it. And I think with that support of these of the runes nodes that are going live, the amount of volume, the mempool increase, all of that's bullish for price action, because in order to participate, you got to pay to play.
Can you explain the fees going up post halving because of runes? Easy, just for people that might not understand, including myself. I have like a basic understanding of it, but yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have Trevor Owens, the founder of Pizza Ninjas and an investor in our business and just a buddy of ours, on the show for 15 minutes on Monday to discuss runes in depth. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do 15 minutes with him. But Easy, go ahead and serve us up. And what a level of interest Nick has for runes. I mean, this guy.
Look, dude, it has nothing to do with runes.
It has to do with sleeping fully clothed.
I'm sorry that I yawned. My apologies to you. Maybe you can deal with it. All right.
We got Jan Van Eck over there. All right, Easy, please go ahead.
The runes fees thing is going to be ramping just because, like, runes are going to be one etched, which I hate the fucking word. I hate etching instead of inscribing.
I love it. I love the ordinal. I've been all about the ordinals people for a while. I had a moment the other day where I was like, look, the ordinals people are straight up psychopaths. And that's the most bullish thing I've ever seen in my life. These people are hilarious. I love them, including the people that we know that are doing, like God Bounce. My guy God Bounce. I just love how he's just like, nah, man, ordinals for life. But anyway, Easy, please.
So I think the main thing too with it is like, you got to think runes are going to be inscribed, etching, and the number of people etching that are doing it simultaneously leads to higher fees. And on top of that, all these people are setting up nodes to try to front run other people, which is all a game of the mempool. Like, that's the main thing. It's like all these people are diving in with fees to front run to try to get the first runes because they're numbered. And because they're numbered, people think they're going to have provenance much like ordinals. Like, that's the big thing, that a lot of people are going to be paying high fees to try to get the earlier numbers of the right ones. And I think that's where we're going to continue to see fees run because of the number of inscriptions or etches that are going to be happening with runes. Secondary markets of people trying to buy them constantly. I think we see all-time high volume on these things. I think marketplace fees go insane. And then, of course, all these people setting up these stupid nodes, which I think is a terrible decision. You're going to see so many dumbasses brick their computers trying to learn the command line in hopes of front-running, or just blow Bitcoin, literally blow it up, because they have no idea what the hell they're doing. Like,
Blow up Bitcoin mean?
They're going to press the wrong button and send it into the void and wonder why the hell they got nothing back. Blow up their own Bitcoin.
I was like, some asshole in Columbus, Ohio is not going to be able to blow up Bitcoin with his like Dell computer. But anyway, okay.
Yeah, it's just the volume. It's pure number of transactions that's going to lead to higher fees. And then people basically trying to run.
If I am understanding this correctly, like, we basically have like Shopify, which is like Solana or Base, where it's like super easy to launch a website similar to super easy to launch a meme coin and trade it. And instead, we're going to go over to Bitcoin and we're all going to start learning how to code in PHP and launching and hosting our own servers, aka running our own nodes to inscribe runes. That's basically what we're doing, right?
I think
it's good. So it's going to be like a nerd. It's going to be like a nerdy person's meme coin market.
So I think someone that actually knows what they're talking about from the development side on Bitcoin would be beyond offended by that analogy, but we'll run with it for sure, Kix. Look, on the Bitcoin side, the Bitcoin miners have flat out not moved. MicroStrategy on the other end, the leveraged bet on Bitcoin, if you will, Michael Saylor's organization has been a robust cook, outperforming Bitcoin. If Bitcoin goes up 4%, MicroStrategy goes up close to 25%. It's been crazy. Coinbase has performed quite well. A lot of people are saying don't buy Bitcoin miners, they suck. Some defenders of the Bitcoin mining stocks, Mike Alford, are like, nope, you're gonna see a shift to the miners. The miners are going to start to outperform MicroStrategy. If you want to pull up like Marathon Mining or something, Clemente, let's look at that stock price or Riot, something like that. Yeah. So look at this 6 month. I'd actually quickly like to have Nick. Like, this is not what you want to see, Nick, am I right, in terms of price action? I'm sure you'll mock the question, but the performance of the miners compared to like MicroStrategy, Bitcoin itself, or Coinbase has just been underwhelming. And some people are calling for, no, you're going to see a rotation of the miners. You're going to see a rotation of the miners, especially post halving. But then you got guys like Dan Held and Fred Krueger saying never buy a mining stock ever. They suck. So it's hard to see. I mean, we'll have to see if Ordinals and Runes makes Fred Krueger and Dan Held look like they're wrong and make Mike Alford look like a genius. But it hasn't been the best experience ever holding mining stocks for the past 6 months. I don't know if you have anything to add on this price action that you're seeing on screen, Nick, or if we should just move on to base.
I mean, I like looking at the financials, Phil, and when I'm looking at the financial statements here, I like analyzing. There's just a couple of key things. We're looking at the overall income statement and the balance statement. Those are most interesting to me. In the case of Marathon Mining, holy shnikes. I mean, these guys have got a lot of assets on the books here. Now, I don't know how much of that is actual computing assets.
They have real-world assets like land and, physical
servers.
Yeah.
So that's what I was talking about with computing assets. But there's also, yes, real estate as well. But they've built up an entire sort of server farm. I think there's also value in those server farms, even if there's not value in mining at some future point where there could be some world where it's not profitable for a period in time, in which case they need to just switch over to becoming a regular server farm, which is pretty much a commodity. Their financials don't look too bad. On $387 million in revenue, their net income is $261 million. The problem is the distinction between it is there's an inherent cost to their acquisition of Bitcoin versus like someone can just buy cash and have Bitcoin.
So there's spot,
they're working for theirs. They do produce it. It's a great business. I think it's a phenomenal business. It's different for somebody that is able to yield cash at a cheaper rate. And so that's all that you're comparing in those two things. Like, does MicroStrategy's cash from their software business come at a cheaper capital? What do you call it?
Cost
of capital, basically. And my guess is yes, they've set up like a proper business, like a software business versus a hardware business. In the world of Bitcoin, everyone's competing against each other. So like, and there's like more and more servers always added online. So at some point, these businesses are unprofitable. If you look at like 2022 for this company,
being Marathon Mining?
Yeah, Marathon. Their net income was negative $700 million on revenue of $100 million, meaning they just kept them running. And now their assets are huge because the price of Bitcoin went up. So they just kept running it through that period of time, which was smart for them. But it's just like volatile
for shareholders
action. Yeah. And people end up looking at it just on the cost basis. I don't know. I mean, I like, I don't think it's bad as a business. I mean, the stock performance, MicroStrategy has done phenomenally well. I don't know which one.
So Nick, and what, like, one word answer, is this bullish or bearish for my Pepe BRC20s on Bitcoin?
Bullish.
Oh, I was going to say, ignore that question quickly before we move on to Base. Easy. Would you buy Coinbase, MicroStrategy, or mining stock today?
Coinbase.
All right. Figured you'd say that. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, no, I mean, look, hey, it's a good answer. Did not see MicroStrategy's pump coming. Moving on to Base. Base TVL is 3x since March to $1.5 billion. Well, still,
Pio, just to cap that, though, look at the financials of Coinbase versus MicroStrategy. Like, on a business basis, it's actually, Coinbase is, like, far superior. MicroStrategy
upside potential significantly outweighs as well, in my opinion, especially when you have MicroStrategy selling stock for basically debt to rebuy more Bitcoin. Like, there's a lot of, like, interesting mechanics behind it, where I think the fee structure that Coinbase can make and the potential off of, like, perpetuals and other things that they can launch, especially offshore, I think Coinbase could get to $1,000.
Coinbase absolutely fucks. You're not going to get any pushback from me on Coinbase. Absolutely fucks. Like, holy shit.
So when you rank stocks, where does that fall? Is absolutely fucks like...
It's up there.
It's like Nvidia, Tesla, kind of fuck. Coinbase, fuck.
Easy. Do you know what Nvidia's market cap is right now today?
A trillion?
Over a trillion.
I love that you guys said that. It's literally over $2 trillion.
Yeah.
That thing has gone on a Bitcoin. Actually, it's outperformed
Bitcoin. It's going higher. Like, I'm telling you, it's going much higher.
It will not be able to outperform Bitcoin continuously because it's outperformed Bitcoin over, like, the past 8 years. It's nuts. Look at the 5-year on that. Look at the max on that. This guy, Jensen, has been literally plowing the entire, microchip industry for 20 years. I mean, he's just plowing everybody. And it's a one-of-a-kind stock when you look at its 20-plus-year performance. The guy, Jensen, absolutely fucks. I don't even know what to say.
I'm plowing everyone.
I can't buy it here.
Plowing an industry, absolutely fucking. Any other analysis, Pio, that you can help us with?
Like, am I wrong about anything that I said? I think Rom, if Rom was here, he would agree with everything that I said. He wouldn't say it the same way, but he would agree.
About can't outperform Bitcoin may not be 100% accurate.
Rom's an interesting character when it comes to discussion of Bitcoin. So we're going to have him on the show next week, so we'll dig into that. It's outperformed Bitcoin over the past 8 years, which is completely insane. And the fact that it's over $2 trillion market cap as a company is fucking nuts. And so I'm like, what I'm pointing out is, do I think it can go to $4 trillion? Absolutely. But I feel like as every day that goes by makes it unlikely that it'll continue to outperform Bitcoin. I'm not saying it's a bad buy. It's Nvidia. It's like the god tier company at this point. Jensen's just been doing his thing for 20 plus years. I showed you that clip from 20 years ago, Nick, the other day. It's like my favorite clip ever of Jensen talking about his mentality and building a business. It's awesome. I bookmarked it right away. I'm going to watch it every day and pray to it. But anyway, yeah, I mean,
your
like
margins are insane.
Insane.
Yeah.
It's the best company. So, but Coinbase, I think Wall Street is completely out to lunch and asleep at the wheel with Coinbase because they still don't get Bitcoin at all. They really still don't. They don't. They will, but they don't. They do understand that, like, NVIDIA equals AI equals good. Equals, like, this thing just went to $2 trillion. Holy shit. Like, there's an understanding of NVIDIA at this point, for sure. And there's, like, an understanding of AI. Coinbase, what's Coinbase's market cap? Can we get that quickly, Clemente? I actually don't even know off the top of my head. And MicroStrategy's market cap, please. Both of those.
Coinbase? Coinbase is $58 billion.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I just left a moment of silence there intentionally. $58 billion? There's fucking meme coins that have higher market caps than this thing.
Just wait till they figure out that Coinbase has its own blockchain.
They're never going to figure that out. They're literally never going to figure that out.
What the hell do you mean by that, Kix?
24B for MicroStrategy. This is what I'm talking about. When we went to dinner with Rom, he was talking about small cap stocks. These aren't small cap, but regardless, I mean, at the end of the day, the mining is different. Nick was making really great points about the mining stuff compared to, like, Coinbase. Dude, Shiba Inu coin went higher in market cap than Coinbase did last cycle. That's what I'm pointing out. NVIDIA is at over $2 trillion. It's up 100% year to date. Holy shit. Jensen over there building a god tier company. Crazy. I'm just pointing out that I feel like it's more likely for Coinbase to outperform NVIDIA over the next 5 years. There you go. Mike DeFi rocking an OMB said Coinbase, Mike 20X, no joke. Basically, in my opinion, the best equities over the next 10 to 20 to 30 years have to be Bitcoin equities. They have to be. How could they not? Anyway, what do we think? It's going to 20X from $2+ trillion market cap when it just a bajillion X over, 20 years.
So you're a base maxi.
I'm not a base maxi.
I'm a low key base maxi.
You own some friend pet token?
Own friend pet. I'm big on Sofamon. That's my base play. My bags are up like 2.5x. Basically, fancy Telegram stickers. Friend pet Gigasent though on the Ansem tweet yesterday of someone tracking him and buying 33 ETH worth of friend pet. Gigasent 34% candle. Love to see it. One of the first Tamagotchi like games on base. I think base in general, dude, is just going to keep
playing. On chain game too, man.
I mean, dude, everyone look at base NFTs.
Tamagotchi games. It's hilarious. It's like no
first one in, first one out, Nick. That's all you got to do.
IFO, baby.
It's like finding gold in a fire. You want to be the first one in and the first one out. Just grab it quick and get the hell out of there.
Finding gold in a fire. What a horrendous situation. That is a good analogy for what people are literally doing. And people are acting like that's the only way to function in this market, in this
space. Finding gold in a fire, baby. Get the hell in, grab as much as you can, and don't be the last one out the door.
People are running into burning buildings rather than just building a house for themselves.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. That's a crazy idea. Nick, when it comes to base, well, first of all, odds of a base coin, I actually think this is one of the more fascinating things to discuss. Coinbase would put, like, could there be a coin? Like,
I don't think there will be.
I don't ever. Either. I don't think.
I think they'll use native ETH and continue to streamline that process. I also think they'll make it so seamless to use the Coinbase app, where they're going to streamline basically using any crypto on the app to get into base. Like, that's how I look at it.
Right.
It does not make sense for them to launch a base token, and maybe I'm completely
wrong.
It's
like illegal, right? I mean, like,
I don't think it's illegal, but it's like just buy Coinbase shares.
Like, yeah, like publicly traded company putting out a coin, and then you have to choose between the coin and the stock.
OpenAI has WorldCoin.
Right. But OpenAI is not publicly traded.
They're owned by Microsoft.
But those are two separate companies, let's be clear.
Yeah,
I don't even know what we went from Blast to OpenAI. I don't.
We haven't talked about Blast at all. Just base.
Nick,
base, chief.
It wasn't that much. It wasn't that big of a jump. It wasn't all of a sudden like, let's talk about Sam Altman's, the way that he's been operating as OpenAI CEO. Like, no, I'm just.
Yeah, I'd say it's a non-zero chance that they launch a coin, but it would not be. It would not be any time in the next 6 months. That would be like a long-term horizon thing. If the regulatory
the next 5 years.
Nick got bored like 3.5 minutes ago, and he's just like, "Yeah, I'm kind of out, chief." Is basically where Nick's at right now. He's like, "Yeah, I'm good. I'll jump into the next one." Look alive, Nick. Someone in the audience.
But I mean, I do think that if we're going into like if we're going into sell in May and go away, and we have some chop or negative activity on the majors, it does set us up for like on-chain PvP season, which should be very interesting. So I think you'd see a lot of action on Solana, Blast, Base, Ordinals as a result, but it would be very much like PvP on-chain existing participants. And then when the majors make the next leg up, that's when we would just have those big net inflows, funny money, everything starts pumping kind of season.
Nick?
I'm bullish on base. That's my summary here.
Base PvP NFTs, summer, Nick. Man.
PvP summer. Get ready for the narratives to drop. People are really going to start concentrating their bags, pumping around a few things.
I think Frentech, I'm very interested, especially my keys and all the ones that people have been buying. Very smart buy from everybody.
How many points you got? I don't have a ton. I got like 600, but I made
the same amount.
Someone randomly bought my key the other day. I just think it's funny. Like
that mine keeps selling, and I think these people are making just genius financial decisions because let me tell you, I took a picture of myself the other day and posted it on there. You don't get that anywhere else.
Frentech, man, heating up a little bit. Maybe I'll have to buy a Choose Rich share.
Well, those are some hot shares, that's for sure. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be joined by Henry, the CEO of Peanut Games, in just a moment. Very excited to have another kick-ass gaming partner, and one that, you know, plays into the Blast discussion. So that's really nice. Really like that. Nick, you know, I didn't mean to, you know, make you feel lousy about getting bored during the conversation. Was there any topic of conversation that
we missed? You got anything else you want to be a jerk about on the show?
Your hair looks good today. Theo's
jerk segment where he talks about why nobody else other than him understands Bitcoin and then shits on the other people that are on the show. Go ahead.
No, we were talking about Blast. We weren't talking about
Bitcoin. We were talking about
Blast. You guys think Base or Blast will win over the next year?
Over the next year?
Just those two. Like which one is the winner after a year?
I have a question for Nick. Do you think that Pac-Man is like, you know, that he's going to really do it? He's going to do it like Brian Armstrong did it with Blur. It's going to be that level. Do you think that?
Sorry, what? I was
ladies and gentlemen, in just a minute, and I see a Slack message from Nick coming in right as I asked that question. I'm not going to get mad. I love seeing Nick be hands-on with the operations of the business, sending Slack messages while he's being asked questions on the show. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest today, the partner for today's show, the CEO, Henry of Peanut Games. Peanut Games is a casual Blast farming game. People play the game to earn points. Points can be used to open boxes, which give you a nut. If you buy the nut, it earns a token, and Blast points will lead into your allocation ahead of their token launch. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have Henry on the show. Henry, how's it going, buddy?
What's up, guys? Yeah, lovely show. Thank you guys for having me. I just realized there's like a lot of glare. I'm in like this hotel room in conferences, so I'm gonna take off my glasses because there's like a ton of glare in this.
No worries at all. We've been there, and I appreciate you calling the show lovely when it's been laced with profanity. But anyway, for people that are unaware, can you give a 60-second rundown of what Peanut Games is and how the game works?
Absolutely. So to make it very simple, we are an all-in-one, one-stop shop for all your favorite casual games on one website. So people can jump in. Just connect to play, and on the dashboard, you'll see plenty of new games. Right now, we have 3 live games, but the other 2 are not merged onto Blast yet. It will be done this month, and we aim for 1 new game a month. I know that sounds crazy, but we're doing really simple casual games, and they'll be playable on all devices, not just focused on the app stores, but we'll also have it released onto Telegram. But most importantly, we focus on on-chain gaming, so this will be very playable on your desktop, laptops, your phones, just through your Chrome browsers and whatnot. So that's a quick rundown of what we do. We make games and your on-chain gaming.
Absolutely. And you know, I've kind of been pointing out that I think that, you know, the video game sector of crypto is going to be what ultimately makes NFTs owned by a lot of people again, for good reason, right? Because like, if you're enjoying a game and you have an NFT that you win in game, or you buy for something in game, it makes a lot of sense. It gives you a reason to hold the thing. You guys have other collections. You have Genesis Bubble Bots. Is there any benefit to owning those other NFTs in this ecosystem?
Yes. So the first NFT was for the builders. We made that. It was a complete free mint. We made that like after the Luna crash, just to kind of gather people back in, because a lot of people were very burned out at that point. Now, what that currently does is it gives extra points, right, for people coming in to want to earn points, want to get head start. We're going to have that integrated into our dashboard very soon. But again, that was a free mint. The Bubble Bots actually plays a much bigger role. If you buy, and I mean, you, what it was is that it was an airdrop, the Bubble Bots, right? If you minted our, because we were partners with IMX before, and if you minted the Battle Pass before, you were airdrop the Bubble Bots. But now that we have changed chains, the Bubble Bots play as in like a 5% of total supply, an airdrop of our pie chart. So you get that on top of that, you get unlimited gems in the games. And it also accrues you points. So there's a lot of utility for holding a ball bots. But I think there's a lot of people very happy about just the big pie chart of the airdrop for holding a ball bot. Not a lot of people know it, but we've just started announcing the public knowledges of it. So there, the farms will basically, is part of another percentage where if you do get a peanut and you mint a farm, I mean, you can get one for as cheap as $26 right now, and it's free gas on Blast. So that gets you D nuts, which is an IOU token, which you can claim for the actual nuts token upon the launch, which TGE would be this quarter of Q2.
Got it. And people are wondering why Blast, because obviously there's Solana, there's other L2s, and you guys have been working on this game for a while. I'd be very curious, what did, inspire you guys to move forward with Blast?
Well, the long-term vision has always been multi-chain for us. Why Blast now? It's a very good question. I mean, in terms of incentives, I mean, look, Web3 is all about incentives, right? And they have done just an amazing job with aligning incentives, not just with developers such as us, but with the community. Like, there's huge incentives, huge opportunities. On top of that, it's such an easy chain to build on. Like, it's just very seamless for us to merge the games in. It's fast. Transactions are very easy as well. So that's like the simple answer. I can happy to dig in if you like.
No, I mean, look, love to hear it. We talk about Blast. We talk about Blur on this show a lot. We also talk about Solana and other L2s. Blast is, without question, in my opinion, one of the most interesting. Obviously, you're in Pac-Man's ecosystem at that point. And he is, in my opinion, a good horse to bet on. So very interesting to hear, you know, why you ended up moving forward there. So if someone plays this game, they get points, they end up buying NFTs that accrue points. Does that give them an allocation to a future token that you guys are launching?
Yes, absolutely. Not just that, they also get like allocation to Blast, right? Because it's, so you're getting double airdrop. I think that's like a huge appeal for a lot of developers as well, right? And it's, that's what I mean. It's a double incentive for the users and the developers. So it, they've actually built something really incredible. I don't think this has ever been done before. So, but yeah, to answer your question, short, yes.
Well, people like to, that's the answer everyone was looking for. I think if you said no, people would be very upset.
It's just like, kinda, no, guys, sorry.
That's definitely
so
how
Henry,
this
I do have a quick question about the game itself. I know that it is currently desktop and browser based only, correct? Limitation
correct.
Wise, PC, Mac, or is it available on both?
It's available on both. Yeah.
Awesome.
For people wanting the mobile version, like on the Chrome browser or browser base, it'll be done in a month. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
We're changing
that was the next
for,
question was
yeah.
mobile, because obviously we're seeing a shift to a lot more mobile experiences. The other thing is, I know that Blast Gold was distributed and we just talked briefly about air farming, et cetera. Are you anticipating any potential Blast Gold for users of the platform?
Yes, we will be anticipating. The more it's all about the interaction transactions on our end, right? Because look, just to be transparent, we are late to the game, but that's in a way advantage for us because we've seen what other projects have failed and made mistakes on. So we're avoiding those. But yeah, the first distribution for Blast Gold has been done, but doesn't mean that it's over. Still pretty early. Like there's a lot more to come. And right now we've just started. And we're racking in those points right now as we speak. So there will be for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. I don't think that anyone that's building a quality product in this space or any space for that matter should feel like they're late to something, because ultimately in a bleeding edge technology space like this, there's so many failures and so many people kind of like, you know, run out of money early or they go out of business for different reasons. Just being able to play another game is a huge, huge W when you're operating in the space. Be able to outlast the competition and outlast other people building is huge. So look, if somebody is listening to this, Henry, and wants to get involved with Peanut Games, what is the most direct way for them to do that?
Easiest way is play the game for free. Just jump on to peanutgames.com/dashboard or just peanutgames.com and jump in. We're audited. We have our audited documentation public on our website. Just go to the documentation. You can see our audit. I mean, it's safe, but I always say, you know what? Doesn't hurt to get a burner wallet. Just open a burner wallet, log in, play. It's free, and that's the best way. Yeah.
Hell yeah. And so anything else people should know about the game or about the next, you know, call it 30 to 60 days for the organization?
Well, the I can kind of, I guess I'll just drop some leaks here on the next.
Now,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Damn. There we go.
Okay, let's rock, Henry.
So all right, the team's going to kill me for this. All right, so we got a Space Invaders type of game coming. I'm not going to say exactly how the mechanics work yet, but it'll be fun. On top of that, there will be a Flappy Bird type of game. It's not going to be the exact same type of mechanics, but that's coming out this month. And there is one other thing that's coming this month. Something related to Solana, since you guys are talking about Solana.
What?
Yeah. So it still works in our ecosystem with Blast, but people will be like, how? But it's there's a way. So that's coming this month. That's supposed to be a surprise, but just gonna leak it out there. Whoever's listening to this, this is alpha for all you guys listening. Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Well, where should people follow you? Obviously on Twitter, we have the Peanut Games account. That's at Go Peanut Games. So just Go Peanut Games. Where else should people go?
You can jump on my personal Twitter if people want to reach out. I mean, I've have my DMs open. So HENRAEE, the double E. Yeah, and you guys can find me there. HENRAEE. Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. Well, real pleasure having you on the show today. Excited about Peanut Games. Obviously, you guys have high quality backers, and good to know that if somebody plays the game, gets points, ends up buying the NFTs that accrue points, it gives them an allocation of the future token that you all are launching. Obviously, people are always trying to speculate in this market. Real pleasure having you on the show. Excited about the partnership with Peanut Games, and thanks again for joining.
Thanks for hosting. Thank you, guys. Likewise.
Our pleasure. Make sure you follow Go Peanut Games, ladies and gentlemen, on Twitter. Nick, I saw you gearing up a little movement there. What are we looking at here?
That was just excitement.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is today's episode of the Daily Bone Podcast. We do this Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, each and every week. It's available on Apple and Spotify Podcasts, YouTube, X Platform Video, Twitter Spaces, really wherever you get your content. We hope you enjoyed the show. Shout out to Kix for joining. Shout out to Henry from Peanut Games for joining. Make sure you check it out at Go Peanut Games on Twitter. Love having some quality game partners on a consistent basis these days. Gaming is for sure the future of Web3. We'll be back tomorrow. We appreciate everybody joining us today. Stay tuned.